Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you for joining our show. I am your host, Wanda McKinley, along with Stephanie Kennedy Alford. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered men, women, and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help individuals transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower men and women and to show them that they can and they will survive and thrive in society on their own, as well as to uplift them and provide them with a new life of what a prospective life should be. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was molested from the age of 7 to 12 by my biological father, and then I was raped by my stepfather, who took my virginity, and from the age of 13 to 18, my biological father and my stepfather continuously raped me. By the age of 19, I met my ex-husband, who was also very abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive, and I was with him for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help men, women, and children who have walked or may still be walking in my shoes. Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing today?
Oh, well, I guess if I turn on her mic, she'll be able to talk.
That's what happens when you be off for a week because you're sick. Now let's try this again. Hi, Stephanie. How are you today?
I am wonderful.
Good. Thank you for taking over the show last week. This flu, which I've never had in my life, actually, I caught it. But the crazy thing about it is I was already on antibiotics for an abscess in the tooth, and so I'm still trying to figure out how did I get sick on antibiotics already.
It happened. It happened.
So what you got for us today with our fundraising?
Oh, well, we currently have several fundraisers, so if we can get everybody to support us with our fundraisers, we have our Kroger Plus reward. So if you currently have a Kroger Plus reward card, or if you will go and get a Kroger Plus reward card, we would greatly appreciate your support. If you go to Kroger.com and register your card, and then connect it to We Are Survivors by start. If you go to start typing in We Are Survivors, sure it come up, and you just connect it to it. And you don't do anything different. You just continue to shop just like you normally shop. And each quarter, according to how much you spend, Kroger's will donate to We Are Survivors. And the same thing with Tum Thumb. You connect your cart to We Are Survivors by going to TumThumb.com. And you just shop just like you normally do. And according to how much you spend each quarter, a donation will come to We Are Survivors. We also do the Comfort Bank rewards. You just connect your bank card to We Are Survivors, and they will give us a donation according to how often you use your card. And we also do the Purple City Project, and that one, well, the ones that I named, if you need assistance with getting connected with those, if you contact me, my number is 817-320-2571. Again, it's 817-320-2571. I'd be happy to assist you. But with the Purple City Project, that one, Wanda has already taken her pictures, so we always let her explain that one because she's already taken her pictures, and she took beautiful pictures. So I'm going to turn that one over to you and let you explain that one, Wanda. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. The Purple City Project is a domestic violence photo shoot awareness campaign, and the photographer's name is Charles, a.k.a. City. You can call or text them at 214-591-1370. Again, his name is Charles, a.k.a. City, and his number is 214-591-1370. This is a personal or professional session, and he has four different packages. But what I'm going to do is go over the top two. And in this photo shoot, you have to wear something purple, be it lipsticks, pair of socks, something that can be seen. If not, it does have a purple backdrop, but it's just, you know, to show your support for domestic violence awareness. The first package is $55. It's valued at $100. It is a 20-minute session up to four people, unlimited shots, which is unlimited pictures, and one look. The one look is your takeaway, your picture that you choose, and two edits. I'm sorry, that was backwards. Your one look is your one outfit. Your two edits is your picture that you get to take away for the $55. And then you have your $80 package, which is valued at $160. It's a 45-minute session up to four people. You have unlimited shots, two looks, which means you get to change clothes twice, so it's two different outfits, and four edits. So if you get four people to go in with you, everyone gets their own picture. A portion of these proceeds will be donated to Your Survivors so that we may be able to help and provide hotel rooms for individuals who need beds when there are no beds available. It's 188 beds available in Dallas County. And if you do the math, that's not very many. So We Are Survivors have a lot of different fundraising events that are coming up this year. We have quite a few women's conferences that we are involved in. And a lot of these fundraising events, we actually have another one that is called Paparazzi Jewelry. Every piece is $5. And it's another way to help us raise money by buying a very nice piece of jewelry. We all are women, all love to wear. They even have men accessories as well, some nice men pieces as well. So we all like to look really nice, feel confident. So that's another way. I can say that we've had some people go on the website and purchase some jewelry. I thank you very much because every little bit helps. Our survivors are also into wellness, whether it's hair, skin, nails, weight. So we are also distributors of It Works. And It Works has the body wraps. A lot of women are familiar with the body wraps. They really do work. The greens, your daily intake of greens, ThermoFit, Fat Fighters, that's, you know, different things than the weight loss programs that they have. And then, like I said, you have the hair vitamins, you have the nail vitamins, there's so much, your skin care. There's so much that It Works provides. So We Are Survivors also has those as fundraising opportunities. You can take care of yourself as well as help someone out and buy jewelry. Look cute for any event and still help someone in the meanwhile. As I said earlier, I want to thank Stephanie. I was out. My voice still is not at 100%. I still sound funny to me. I want to touch over. We have some events that are coming up. And like always, we want to share those. The first event that I want to acknowledge is actually this Saturday. I got to find it. We Are Survivors is being honored for the work that we did in the community. Last year, 2016, we are being honored and given the title of Organization of the Year for 2016. And that is going to be this Saturday the 28th, which is my daughter's 24th birthday. The event is free. The doors open at 6. It's at Trinity Christian Worship Center. Again, that's Trinity Christian Worship Center. It's 3300 Gus Thomas, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. Again, it is a purple and white gospel explosion, a night to stand against domestic violence. It is this Saturday, February 28, 2017. The doors open at 6 p.m. It is at Trinity Christian Worship Center. The address is 3300 Gus Thomas, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. And it is an honor of We Are Survivors for being Organization of the Year. So I'm really, really, really excited about that. And I can remember when he called me about it, I actually got really teary-eyed and cried. Because it's nothing like, Stephanie and I were extremely, extremely, extremely busy last year. And so it's just awesome to be acknowledged. And I do apologize, but if you hear me go blank for a minute, it's because I'm coughing. I'm still trying to get over this cough. I did mention week before last that there was going to be a Sophisticated Sip, which is a black tie event, February 18th. That has been changed and moved to March. As soon as we get the date, then I will inform the listening audience of the change. The most important event that is happening this year is the International Women's Conference. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but I do want to bring forth, there is a second annual Survivors Luncheon, and we went last year to the first annual. It was wonderful. This is also free to survivors. This event is May 13th. I'm kind of giving you heads up with this because I really would love you. Even though it's free, you have to register. And it's Annie's Gifts of Love. Now, what I do know is that you have to click on the purple, and then it allows you to register because some people are looking for the link, and it's not like a link per se. You have to click on the actual, like, flyer, and then it opens up and allows you to register. It's at the Hilton Garden Inn, 800 North Main Street, Duncanville, Texas, 75116, and that is Saturday, May 13th from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., and once again, that was magnificent last year, so I would advise you to plan on attending. The food was excellent. The speakers were excellent. So, and like I said, it's a free event. It's a great opportunity to mingle. Now, we have three or four women's conferences that's on the book so far for the year. The one that I want to and will constantly talk about is the International Women's Conference. Last year, We Are Survivors was invited to come to Europe and be a part of the International Women's Conference there. Well, this year, We Are Survivors is hosting this large event. And it will be August 25th and 26th. It's at the Hall of State Building, Fair Park. I love the building. It is an epitome of Texas history. So to have individuals from Nigeria, Spain, Portugal, Finland, and London here, I thought it was only necessary to put them in a building filled with our history. Whichever way you turn, there's nothing but Dallas, Texas, and there's Texas history. Not only just Dallas, but Texas history as well. So, we're working, of course, on getting sponsors. We have a couple of sponsors already that I'm extremely excited about. I want to thank our Vice President of Public Relations, Linnell, who is on it. She is working with food vendors. She's already completed the travel arrangements, have hotel room blocked out, the decorating crew. And so we're working on getting speakers. We are working on putting this magnificent opportunity together. It will be a two-day conference, as I said, 25th and 26th. The 26th at Saturday night is our red carpet event. It's our gala. And we're really excited about that. We have an award ceremony that night. We are reaching out to some very exciting people in the Dallas community. And it's something that you really don't want to miss. I'm excited about some of the people that have already volunteered to just be a part of it. And that is our International Women's Conference that will be here in Dallas, August 25th and 26th. The First Lady of Nigeria, the offer has been extended to her to come. She's actually in the UK right now, so we're keeping our fingers crossed with that when she comes back, that she'll accept the offer and be here. So I'm just letting, and every week, like I said, I'll be talking about that so people can definitely put it on their calendars. We will be marketing it, so it will be on, of course, social media as soon as we narrow down our ticket prices. I'll start announcing ticket prices and where you can go. We're also doing acknowledgement of the First Ladies of the Church, so on the website, once it's up, I saw it last week. I'm excited about that. The funny thing about it is they had when you pull it up, of course, because it's in Dallas, Texas, you're supposed to have the city of Dallas. When you pull it up, bam, you see the beautiful nightlight of Dallas. I don't know where they got this picture from, but it was not Dallas. And it took them 2 or 3 days, and they still cannot find a picture of downtown Dallas. So I had to email them a picture of what Dallas, Texas, USA looked like, and not their version of what Dallas, Texas looks like. It was hilarious. But once again, I'm looking forward to that event. I am ecstatic. Words cannot describe the joy and the excitement that I feel. Before we started the show, Stephanie and I were talking about, which I saw, I didn't see the video, and we do have some callers in the line, so I'm going to open it up so we can just have open discussion. The young man that was he was an actor, an upcoming actor, that actually committed suicide on Facebook Live, and some people thought it was a hoax at first. And in actuality, actually our VP of Public Relations, she actually knows of the family. And that's kind of made me stop and read. But so we want to talk about, just kind of bringing it up. I'm going to open up the lines to everyone that's on. Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Hello. No one wants to talk today?
I'm doing great.
Good. Well, thanks for joining our show this evening, and thanks for speaking up. It's some other people on here, but we can be shy sometimes. I understand. But I want to talk about. Does anyone on here besides Stephanie and I know about what we're talking about the young man that committed suicide on Facebook?
No, this is the first time I heard about it.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it.
Okay. An upcoming actor that he's been acting since childhood, but he was really getting a lot of good, as they say, gigs. And I don't know the extent of why
he committed suicide, but they were saying it was leading to depression. So
I wish he had heard our show last week. I really wish he had heard
our
show.
Well, fill me in.
Somebody mentioned that it had something to do with his family. But on our show last week, we were talking about depression. It kind of led into us talking about depression. And I really wish he had heard our show. Maybe that would have helped him. You know, I'm not sure what all he kind of went through with his family, but I did see on there a couple of people have said something about it had something to do with his family. But, you know, just wish he had kind of reached out or, you know, somebody had led him, you know, our way. You never know. We may have been able to help him.
Right.
You know?
Excuse me. This cough is not going to get the best of me. And I know everyone was, you know, people were talking about they were surprised because he had so much going on for himself. And go ahead.
That was something else that we touched on when myself, Charlie, Ramona were talking last week. People think that, you know, just because people in the public eye seem like they have it going on or whatever, they don't know what's going on inside. You know, a lot of times you're able to cover it up. You know, I know I admitted that I know how to cover things up. You know, on the outside, it looks like one thing, but on the inside, you know, it looks like another. You know, you feel certain ways. You know, I'm sure I'm not the only one to know how to cover up, you know. And if you don't know the signs,
right,
then a lot of times people miss that. And it looks like, in his case, people miss those signs as well. Because people did not see it, and look what he did on Facebook Live. People miss those signs big time. But they saw it live because of what he did.
Pulling it up, he actually had earned a master's degree. Let's see. He has a handful of film and television shows. He had his first child at 18, got married 25. He had four children. Like I said, he was the first one to earn a college degree.
So on the outside, looking in, he looked like he had it going on, right?
Yes, he did. And educated. Wow. Let's see. I'm trying to get some more information about that, because a lot of times, though, there are signs for individuals that are going through depression. With him, you kind of want to think and wonder if there were signs and no one picked up on them, because for him to commit, for you to decide to take your life, but for you to do it on Facebook Live, it's like, what was going on with him? What was tormenting him so that you would put that out there for people to see? Were you trying to, you know, maybe, because sometimes drastic things, other people, were you trying to send what message to, who are you trying to send and to whom? Because I didn't get to see the video because they took it down.
Yeah, they had taken it down by the time I saw it. I just saw the comment. You know, like somebody else put on here, video is depressing, you know.
Wow. And then to imagine seeing that, I mean,
right?
It's that I can't even imagine watching, because you really don't. Nowadays with things on social media, you don't know what's real or what's fake. But to sit there and actually watch that, and for me, I would have been in my head thinking, you know, I can't, after I would have known, because I doubt if I would have known that that was real watching it.
Right.
That you can't help him, if somebody gonna walk in, if someone gonna save him, his mom, his wife, his kids, you know, that
mm-hmm.
it's like what was going on with him so that you were willing to take your life in a way that your kids could have been exposed to that.
Right.
But depression is—it's an illness. It's a—it's a sickness. It's something that we, you know, are learning in class. And I just remember growing up, my mother used to do these suicide attempts. And as a child, I just recently learned, probably about a couple of weeks ago in school. My mom wasn't on medications then for depression. She is now, but she wasn't back then when I was in high school and junior high. But my mom would do this, take a whole bunch of pills and call somebody. And next thing I know, the fire department, the police department is, you know, with the house, all the red sirens and the bright lights. And as for me growing up, I used to think it was an attention getter. Like she's just doing these stunts and she would just irritate me and embarrass me. And I would just be like, oh my God, here we go again. And I learned 2 weeks ago in class that my mother was depressed. And as a society, a lot of us don't want to go get that diagnosis put on us. We feel that we can handle it. Whatever it may be, I pray about it. God answers all prayers, but God also made some stuff to help us out along the way. And I just learned that my mother was depressed. And depressed people attempt or succeed with suicidal attempts. Because of what's going on in their heads and how they feel and the aloneness that one goes through. And now as an adult, I realize that my mom was crying out for help. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, God, here we go again. And it for me to put two and two together, I realize that my mother was depressed then versus now because she's on medication. She was on medication then. And since she's been on medication for several years, my mother has not attempted suicide. But growing up, for me, it was embarrassing because I'm just like, okay, what is she going to do now? You know, and in my head, you know, as a child, because I'm angry, and my mom at the time, my mother were not the best of friends. And so I'm just thinking, if you don't kill yourself, kill yourself. You've done it so many times in my head as a child, and just being transparent, I would think you had mastered this by now. So for me, I'm thinking they're just stunts that embarrass me because you would do it any time of the day. Now I realize my mother really had a problem. My mother really was depressed. My mother was really crying out, and I thank God that he saved my mother. And he didn't take her from me. It's not how I felt then. But now that I am healed and my mother has a relationship that we have salvaged, then now I'm like, wow, my mother really had a problem. And for her, the answer was, I'm going to kill myself. That was always her thing. Well, I'm just going to kill myself. So we got to the point where you would say, okay, well, then what you waiting on? That was right, that's what are you waiting on? That's just how bad it was. To the point that when the paramedics and the fire department made it to our house, I would just open the door and sit back down and watch TV. Well, she's upstairs. That's how bad it was.
Mm-hmm.
Several years later, as I'm sitting in my psychology class, and I'm listening to my professor, who is a doctor. She's a psychologist. It all makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. All of it makes sense. My mother was depressed then. And so her suicidal attempts, they were for real. They were for real. That was what was in her head. That's how she felt. So that was, so I can say I've experienced a family member attempting suicide. I'm getting ready to really be transparent because I haven't said this out loud. But this being on this journey, excuse me, being on this journey for me has been a very short period of time, but it's had its moments when I know that I'm dealing with spiritual warfare. I knew before We Are Survivors was even a mustard seed thrown in my head. And last year, and I'm not depressed, nowhere, no shape, means, form, any of that. But we were talking in class about depression. And one of my questions to my psychologist, my professor, was, how do you all differentiate between spiritual and mental? Because someone can commit suicide and attempt to commit suicide because they hear. And it's not, they're not depressed, but they literally hear voices saying, kill yourself. Then you have people that have diagnosis like schizophrenia that hear voices, but theirs is mental. So I asked my professor, because I was asking her from, I'm talking now, I'm coming from a place of personal experience. So I love my classes, I love my professors, I love why God has me in school, because it has really opened my mind, and it's allowing me to identify some things that I've gone through. And about 8 months ago, there were bouts where I literally can hear a voice in my head telling me to kill myself. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not depressed. You know, there's nothing in my life that is pressing where I feel I can't handle it. I am blessed. My child, there's nothing in my world. So when I hear this voice, it is so powerful. It is so strong that it has me crying, because I'm speaking out loud, I'm not going to kill myself. But this voice is so loud in my head, and it's telling me to kill myself. Me, Wanda. And I just cry, because I know mine is spiritual. I know that the devil is attacking me in so many different ways. It's unreal. So when I hear this voice, I begin to pray, and I'm crying, because it's strong. And if I was not grounded and rooted in my Lord, that voice could win. But because I'm a child of God, and because I began to pray, and because I began to ask God, okay, I know this is, I know I'm under attack. Please help me. So when I hear this young man, I hear stories about, like this, for instance, this young man,
I don't know if his was spiritual. I don't know if his was mental. But when I tell my professor, because she kind of believes in the good and the bad, she says, Wanda, she said, I hadn't experienced that yet. She said, but I'm one of the professors or one of the physicians that are that's open to that because I am a God-fearing Christian. So her thing is, I'm not closed-minded off to the fact that, yes, people do hear voices from that side. Because you can't believe in one and not believe in the other. It's real. But for me, that it's happened more than once. I thank God that it hasn't happened in 8 months. And I just thank God that I know the God that I serve. I have a personal relationship with Him. And I'm thankful for that. Because like I said, that voice that I hear, it's loud. And when you hear people say, I hear voices, and they're not, they don't have a mental diagnosis, that is real. That is so real. So I really pray for the family, you know, the families that are affected by that young man, that are affected by individuals that fight with depression, individuals that fight with different mental disease, because for me to experience what I've experienced, it is hard if you're not grounded, if you're not rooted, if you don't have a personal relationship with God. That's a battle that people lose, as a young man on Facebook is evident. But talking from experience on both angles, from my mother trying to commit suicide to me hearing a voice telling me to commit suicide, I've never attempted suicide, but I've heard the voice in my head. And I'm like I said, I'm not on any type of medication, and I'm not crazy. But that's an experience that I've experienced more than once, to the point it has brought me to my knees physically praying, and I'm crying, God, please give me the strength. Please quiet this voice. And I'm begging and I'm crying. Because it's that strong. So anyone, I missed the show last week due to this nasty flu. But anyone that may know someone, sometimes people give signs. Sometimes, you know, one of the things might be they start giving away their favorite items. They're withdrawn. Some people do the opposite, become the opposite of their normal self, become very outgoing. Personality, you know, they may start saying things to you that don't make sense. Like, well, when I leave here, or I'll never get to see them grow up. But a lot of times we just brush it off. People start losing weight, gaining weight, extreme. I'm talking about extreme weight gain or extreme weight loss. So there's sometimes, if you have a child that's in sports and all of a sudden don't feel like playing sports no more, grades drop. You know, nowadays it's not normal for a child not to have some type of electronic device in their hands or on social media or don't want to go hang out with their friends. She's got to sometimes parents. Nowadays we as a
community that's raising our kids, we're so caught up in our own things that we provide tools to keep our children occupied, that we lose sight of what's going on with our children. So parents, mm-hmm. we want to make sure that you're engaged in your kids' life. You want to make sure that if something changes in their behavior, you'll notice it, and notice it to the fact that you can reach out, talk to them, and hopefully prevent any devastating actions to occur. Make sure that, you know, they know that you're there. Adults, you know, we have close friends, and even adults and their behaviors can change. One thing that when Stephanie and I always speak is just, and I think it works period across the board, if you allow somebody to know, let them know that you're there for them, that they need someone to talk to, someone to have quality time with, someone, ladies to go shopping, men to go, you know, bowl or play golf or go smoke a cigar, you know, whatever it is men like to do as buddies. You know, just if you have that friend that you notice is changing and something about them is not right, take the time out to spend time with them. Because sometimes, majority of the time, people do give signs. There are cases when there is no sign. They just do it. They just do it. But there are times when we can see what's going on before our eyes. A lot of times we don't want to acknowledge it or recognize it because we don't want to deal with it. But we'll have to deal with it one way or the other. So just the depression thing, and I know for survivors and victims, that is one reason why we keep the radio show going. What I have come across and I've learned that even though sometimes, some days we may not have a lot of people on, there are people that actually go back and listen to the show. Mm-hmm. So that in itself, because God will show, He shows me for sure, that I'm that stick to your guns, stay on the right path. And just people that, you know, are meant to come across when you're on this path will come across. And so, like I said, I know for sure the people listen to the show. And so the thing is, when someone gets something from the show, then Stephanie and I have done what we were supposed to do, and that's help one of God's children. So with the depression that you all had talked, you had last week, and then for the young man that took his life, on Facebook, and then you have survivors, you have victims of domestic violence, and that alone, because you feel trapped, you feel alone, you feel like no one is going to listen to you or pay attention to you or believe you. So even with survivors, we can fall into depression. We can become isolated. So that is something that as we come together,
well,
that we can be there for each other.
That when you say that we can come, the way that we can feel, because what a lot of people don't realize is that we come under attack. That's something that we mentioned last week as well, because we stand in a gap for a lot of people. We come under attack because we take on certain things.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize that.
That's true. Not to mention, I know for me, leave with a little bit of that person. So whomever we're interceding for, talking to, or listening to, or supporting, a little piece of them leaves with me. It stays with me. The stories, the kids, I was talking to Dr. Bradford, meeting with her, and I was telling her that for me, talking to the kids, it's so many kids out here that are depressed because
mm-hmm.
they're being abused. They're witnessing abuse, and they can't even turn to an adult, talk to an adult. When we spoke at Lincoln last year, one of the young ladies that reached out, we text here and there. She actually texted me last week, and something as simple as a test that she failed last year, she passed it this year. She was so excited that she had to text me. So it's even our babies are so depressed and withdrawn and going through emotional distress. And the sad thing about it is because we as their parent or their role models that they have in their lives are so caught up in our own, we don't see them. We don't acknowledge them, which has them to even draw within themselves even more. So I think about our kids, and I was telling them to Bradford, for me that's the hardest part of this walk are those babies and those tears that we have to wipe away, their stories, their confusion, their questions, their whys, the how, the when, what can I do, and to know that that child goes home to that, and I remember what I went through. It's heart-wrenching, and I just pray that they survive because they can settle into depression. They can settle into a state of loneliness, a state of being lost because you can withdraw so far from the world that it's going to take a lot to bring you back to the norm, to the reality. Because I know for myself, it was easier to escape, per se, to another world while abuse was going on. I was able to return back, but I was talking about this, I'm definitely probably remembers him, this teenage guy, I think he was like 16 years old. He introduced himself to us in third person. Because of the trauma that he's going through. So if he's separated himself, do you not think he's depressed himself? He has split himself into multiple people to the point you're talking to me in third person. And then every so often you would flip into first person. And then you flip back into third person. That poor baby is dealing with a lot. To the point the way he handles his pain is to withdraw himself completely. So he doesn't even acknowledge him. So there's so many signs. Just go back to there's so many signs that someone needs help. And I'm thankful that God protected me, my mind, because I've had so many people tell me I should have been on medication. I should be taking something. There's no way I could be walking around here sane as I am with all the things that have happened to me. And so I just thank God for protecting my mind because he could have changed my journey and that could have been a part of my story. That could have been something that I could have had experience and touched and helped someone else that's walking that journey. But it's amazing to me how God orchestrates everyone's lives. And for someone who's a survivor that has gone through stuff that is not afraid to say, yes, I've gone through this, I'm taking this, I'm okay with it. It helps you. It helps me. It could possibly help you. Because a lot of times people don't go get help because they don't want to be labeled with a diagnosis. And if I don't know, it won't hurt me. I've been dealing with this. I don't need it. That's why I'm so glad my mother went to a doctor and put a diagnosis with your behavior. And now she's balanced. And like I said, now she's not attempting suicide or threatening to attempt suicide. Now she, her balance is right. So I say all that to say, anyone that's listening, it's okay to go see a doctor. It's okay to go see a psychiatrist. It's okay to talk to someone to get help. It's okay. It's okay to let someone know that you're hurting, that it's something that you don't understand, something that you're feeling. It is okay because there's someone else out there that is experiencing the same thing you're experiencing. You're not alone. I admitted I heard a voice in my head. It's not a lot of people that would probably admit to that, but it's the truth. I heard a voice. I prayed, and I keep praying that the voice doesn't come back. Some people hear voices, and they take medication, and the voices go away. Whatever the scenario may be, there's help. Whether it's spiritual help or going to a doctor, getting human help. But you can get help. There's four babies that will grow up without their father. They're going to need some type of counseling because they don't want to know why dad left us. His wife, she's going to want to know. And I don't think that people that commit suicide think about who they leave behind. Think about how that's going to affect them. Think about how your significant other is going to be angry, be mad, be confused, hurt. They're going to go through all kinds of emotions. And then themselves ask themselves, why didn't they see it? Why didn't they stop it? What could they have done differently? That's going to be a question that will forever probably haunt her. I just want people to get help. Talk to somebody. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. There are people that do not judge. It's something else. People, when someone comes to you with a problem or concern, please stop judging. Because I guarantee you there's something probably going on in your life that is not what it should be. So everyone doesn't live the perfect life. Everyone, there's some underlying issues that we all have. And as God's children, we should be able to come together and help one another. Help with an issue. Help with a concern. That is, it's so much that we are survivors. Want to do in the community. I forgot to bring up the fact that We Are Survivors is officially heading the Domestic Violence Awareness Advisory Committee for the city of Lancaster. We meet with the police department and we're putting together a program. We're putting together some policies. We're putting together some events. We're putting together things to help the community, to help those that are suffering in silence, to help those that feel like they're alone. They're not suffering in silence, but they feel like their cries are falling on deaf ears. We want to be a part of the community to show, hey, I made it, you can make it too. She made it, he made it. Doesn't matter the age, doesn't matter the sex. We can all make it. So We Are Survivors is really excited about the opportunity to bring about a change in the community, because it starts at home. It starts with someone that knows, hey, I can make a difference. Whether you've walked the walk, and when I say walk the walk, whether you have experienced it or not, personally, or if you've maybe witnessed it, it doesn't matter. It could be someone that hasn't even been exposed to domestic violence but wants to help. Going back to the fundraising events, I'm circling back around. These fundraising that we have, the fundraising events that we have, the opportunity to go into Kroger's, to go into Tom Thumb, the opportunity to go online, purchase $5 jewelry, Compass Bank opening up a checking account and receiving a debit card and, you know, using that on an everyday basis. It's just the little things that we need you all to do to help us. The photography, the photo shoots, we have the conferences that are coming up, the events that we are a part of, just even the free events. If you just show your face, your support,
every little bit helps.
Everything helps. People don't seem to understand. Just your face, even like I said, the free events, anything that's going on. Anything, just let us know you're out there. Let us know that you hear us. Let us, you know that, hey, you know, you're doing a great thing. I hear it a lot. I want to see the support. I want to see it. I want to be like, yes, yeah, Stephanie, our bank account is growing. We can do this. We can do that. We can have this person. We can have that person. That's you know, what we're striving for. And I know We Are Survivors is going into its third year. We've only really been formed 2 years as of last month. We have accomplished a lot in 2 years. We really have. But we have a lot more to accomplish. We have a long ways to go, and we can't do it without raising money. We can't do it without support. We can't do it without seeing your faces in different events. We want to see you now while we're at ground level. Help us help the community. Help us help that young lady or that young man or that child that needs help. Help us be that support. Yeah. What I also wanted to do each week is also educate about life insurance, living benefits, investing. We want to start educating our community in different ways. I didn't get to do that. I get to that this week, but I do have some information I want to share about life insurance with living benefits. A lot of us, they hear life insurance and think it only pays out when you're dead. That's not true. So we're going to also start educating our listeners. We're going to, you know, do as much as we possibly can to better whomever hears, sees, witnesses, anything that has to do with We Are Survivors. So I want to thank everyone this week that participated and listened. Hopefully next week I'll be back at 100% so we can have some guest speakers on and really talk about what's going on in the community. I want to thank everyone that is listening, that will listen. Our contact information, mine is 214-454-2933. Stephanie's is 817-320-2571. The email address is wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to Stephanie or I. And God bless you. And we will be back next week. Take care.
Have a good evening.